Hello, hello, and this is the Sleon Productions podcast where we interview entrepreneurs, authors, and business owners throughout the world. And today we have a guest. His name is Grant Parr from Aimface Performance. He is one of the top coaches when it comes to mental mindset, and he coaches a lot of athletes and other people in the industry. And we have Grant in the line. Welcome, Grant, to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Leon, thank you, man. I'm really interested and excited to talk with you today.
So, Grant, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm a mental performance coach. So I work with, you know, athletes, teams, and coaches, and also executives on the mental game. So I work with professional Olympians, collegiate, high school youth athletes. And I also work with all different kinds of corporations, sales corporations on not only mental skills training, but also leadership training.
Can you tell us your journey of how did you get into this mindset?
Yeah, man, it's a long story, but I'll keep it fairly short. I've actually been doing this for the past 5 years, but what led me to this profession is I played quarterback for 13 years and played all the way through college and had a career-ending injury to my hip. And so I spent two decades of my life just in pain and went through a lot of identity issues, depression. It was just it wasn't fun. However, I had to deal with two hip replacements to the same hip. So before I was 40. So after I got through all of that and went through my second hip replacement, I was like, man, I need to reinvigorate myself, redesign myself, and get this inner athlete, this competitor. I need him back. So I reinvented myself. And as I was doing that and going through that process, I went back to school to get my, my master's in sports psychology. And that was about 5 years ago. And ever since then, man, I've been thriving and loving what I'm doing and found my passion.
How was life before you learned about mindset and now afterwards? What have you learned before and after?
Well, it's a great question because when I was growing up, my dad was awesome, man. He was super involved with my brother and myself through all of our sports. And he was teaching us back in the 80s and the 90s about breath and visualization and self-talk. And before we even knew that it was a thing. So my mindset back in the day, man, it was already being trained. Now, after I left or actually got pushed out of my sport with my injury, that's when I started to abandon all of that, all the self-talk, the breath, visualizing my success. All that stuff went away. And for many reasons, but then as I actually started to get back to who I was, and not only about who I was, but to reinvent myself, that's when I started to not only bring back the mindset, but also adding all the stuff that I'm learning and all the stuff that I was, you know, not only teaching now, but when I was going through my education, I was like, ah, I remember this. I remember this. So I was getting the mindset and all those strategies back into my life.
How important is mindset when it comes to sports?
It's important in anything. Any time you perform anything, whether if it's sports, whether if it's in the workplace, whether if it's you know, your doctor, I don't even care if you're a house mom. If you're performing a role, mindset is huge.
Can you tell us a time where you failed and struggled?
Yeah, in a lot, man. It's but I love the fact that I did fail. I would say when I think about what comes up for me initially in sport, at least, man, when I was in college and I was playing at Sonoma State University, and I actually had my worst game in my entire life. Like when you look back, my whole breath of work from my youth all the way up to college, I had my worst game, and it's because I didn't have a mental game. Even though I was sick, which, you know, back then is why I thought I actually had a bad game and why I failed, but it was because I didn't actually take care of what I did have, the energy I did have. I didn't take care of my self-talk. I didn't visualize my success. I was so worried about all the energy I didn't have, I was so worried about failing because I was so sick. And I ended up throwing four interceptions and two of them for a pick six. I believe I got sacked about six times. It was just a bad game. And cried a lot with my dad. Wanted to give up literally on the sport because it was so embarrassing. And then I came back the following game and had a pretty good game. So, man, it's just failing is informative. Failing's part of success. And in hindsight, that actually made me realize that, like, you know, if you're going to compete, you're going to win, you're going to lose. But when you actually fail or lose, you got to get the feedback. You got to get the lesson from it.
Can you name a quarterback, you know, professionally that you've seen that maybe have gone behind in the game, but you could tell that he had the right mindset to get back in the game, that he's able to overcome it? Can you name a few examples or maybe just one quarterback that you really see a lot that has come back?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm going to say this because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, which is I'm kind of an anomaly being in here in the West, the Bay Area on the West Coast here. Everyone's a Niner fan here. But when you think about what was it in the 90s when the Bills were playing the Oilers in the championship game before the Super Bowl, and when Jim Kelly got hurt and he was right before the fourth quarter, Frank Wright was a backup quarterback. They didn't have a lot of playing time. And I believe the score was 31-3 or 33-3. And so there was just a quarter left. And Frank Reich came back, who is now the head coach with the Colts. He came back and basically put the team on his back and beat the Oilers and then went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, talk about the next one up, you know, the next man up, just sitting there all season long, playing against the, you know, playing behind the franchise quarterback, Jim Kelly, hardly getting any reps. And that guy steps into one of his biggest games and acts as if he's been playing all season long.
Yeah, that's something that I really do see in sports, you know, where you have the right mindset, even though it feels like it's the end of the world. You know, you're down 38 to nothing, but there's a possibility that you could come back and overcome it and win the game. It could be by a field goal or by a touchdown. Right. That's something that I definitely look at quarterbacks. In your book, you mentioned about your system MVP. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, MVP stands for doing your daily MVPs. It's meditation, visualization, and powerful self-talk. And basically what this strategy does, it's a good strategy to connect the mind and the body. So before you're going into practice, before you go into any kind of performance or competition, what you're truly doing is you're getting your mind and your body connected, and you're getting your breath, you're getting into your breath, you're getting into where your feet are, and you're getting into a very meditative state, and you're starting to, as you lock in your energy, you work your energy all the way down your body with your breath, then you start to visualize whatever you want, you know, whatever that you're going to, that you want to perform or succeed in. And then you're going to end that whole breathing meditative state with talking, like saying words that are going to get you motivated, inspired, and that's going to take you into a positive direction. And so when you go through that whole MVP process, man, you're going to be your own VP. Who doesn't want to be their most valuable player, right? So when you actually do that meditation, the visualization, the powerful self-talk, man, you're putting everything back into your control, and you're connecting your mind and your body.
Of course, you have, you know, clients that are athletes and also former athletes. And a career for an athlete, you know, could be, you know, 10 to 20 years, sometimes like way less, you know. What do you teach athletes when they transition into a private citizen, I guess you can say?
Yeah, it's huge. I think transition at any level, it's a real thing. There's a lot of times where people put everything into their identity and they don't go on beyond high school. And so how do they deal with that transition? And to be honest with you, I work a lot with athletes, you know, on their craft, on their mental game, but I do work on an element of knowing they need to know who they are. Who are you outside of sport? And so if I can get you to do that while you're in sport, because what you like playing football is what you do. It's not who you are. And so we explore a lot of different areas of how we actually can identify who we are. Because when we play sport, sometimes, most of the time, we let go of who we are so we can actually commit ourselves to this role, this athlete. And then we have to go commit ourselves back to who we are. So the more that we have that good relationship, that when it's time to leave the sport, we've already gone through that whole process of knowing who we are. Now, the fun thing is getting these athletes excited. Like, you get to transition out of sport. Like, I know you like have to, or you feel like you're getting pushed out, or your time's expired, whatever it is, or your injury, but you have to look at a transition as, I get to do this.
What do you think is going on in the mind of Tom Brady right now? Do you think he's in that, like, on the ropes of, like, he might retire, or do you think he's that athlete's like, no, I'm looking beyond. I am going to play till I'm 45. What do you think is going on in his mind right now?
Personally, I think he's there's a lot of talk about him right now, and I think he's embracing all of this. He's embracing, he wants to play. He's going to play, whether if it's going to be another year to 2 years. If he plays more than that, awesome. Good for him, right? But I think he wants to prove the world that he still got it, and he does. He does. I mean, whether if he's going to perform like he has 5 years ago, we don't know. He hasn't had the best weapons around him. But again, I think he's loving this. He wants to prove everybody that he still got it.
Of course, at the time of this recording, Eli Manning has announced his retirement. What would you tell Eli Manning if you spoke to him right now?
Man, if I spoke to him right now, I'd be like giving him a high five and a big hug. I'd be like, and I mean, he's done a lot of great things. And I think this is where you reflect. I mean, there's a lot of things that as an athlete, you need to reflect on your performances, practices, and games so you can get better. I call that a work on, build on, that whole process. But when you're actually transitioning out, this is where you actually look back, reflect, and really embrace all the love, the joy, everything that you've done. And if you need to go back and reflect on some, you know, bad games, negativity, so you can get lessons, then do that. But if not, reflect on it, rejoice in it, and then get ready for a new life. And he's set. He's got so many things he's going to get into. But I would just give him a big hug and congratulate him, because he did some incredible things. I mean, he should be proud of himself.
After athletes transition to work, how do you help athletes to have a good mindset at work?
Yeah, so it's all about intention, for me at least. I spent 17 years in corporate America, and I fell into this trap, and I saw a lot of people, they just kind of show up and they just kind of wait for direction, like, this is what I need to do today, or this is what we need to do this month or this quarter. And if I'm going to work with an executive or what I call a corporate athlete, is set your intention in the morning. Like, what do you want to do? And then once you realize what that is, I want you to understand, what does it look like and what does it feel like? And I want you to connect it with your breath. I literally want you to get into your body for 30 seconds up to 2 minutes, get into your breath, boom, you're locked in. You already know what your intention is. You're going to be intentional. You already have your purpose. Now you're ready to walk through those doors. Now, what you need to do with that intention is at lunchtime, revisit it, because there's going to be so many different distractions within the workplace. Revisit your intention, live it out, make sure that you're living out your intention, and at the end of the day, reflect on it. Because if you did live out your intention, guess what? You had a mindset throughout the whole day.
Yeah, that's something that I really think about, or, you know, I've heard people talk about, you know, for an athlete, and like, the, you know, like, the career is so short-lived, and then boom, you're like, you're no longer going to practice. You're no longer going to play that game on Sunday or that game that night. It feels like it's like a big turnaround, you know, mindset-wise. And you explain it. You just got to go through these steps in order just to get back and just, you know, not be competitive at work or anything, but, you know, just get back and just enjoy life and thrive it. What are the most common problems that you encounter with athletes when it comes to mindset?
I think what comes up a lot is just the fear of failure, right? It's, you know, there's this paradigm of the need to look good versus the fear of looking bad. And so the athletes get stuck in that. We all want to look good, right? We all want to be successful. And man, like, I don't want to actually be exposed on social media when I fail, or I don't want to fail and then get demoted to second string. There's all these things that can come up. And so I think the fear of failure is something that that comes up a lot, and I think it's okay that it does. We just have to have a different relationship with failure and know that failure is a part of the process of being successful.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to fail a 100 times to get that one win or to get that one success. I know Thomas Edison had 10,000 tries until he got his light bulb invented, and of course other people as well. You mentioned a lot about Michael Jordan in your book. Can you tell us your favorite Michael Jordan story?
Wow. You know, I don't know if I put this one in the book, but this one I love. It's because I use this a lot when I'm working with teams, because it's good for buy-in process to get people to get connected and to know that elite athletes like Michael Jordan, why they actually got connected to this work. So years ago, when Phil Jackson brought in the whole idea of mindfulness training, he brought in George Mumford, who is back and still is, but back then he's kind of like the pioneer of actually introducing mindfulness and mental performance training within the NBA. And so, you know, as George was working with Phil, he brought George into the Bulls organization, started working with the whole team, and started working with Michael as well. Michael is actually like loving this. I mean, he's loving meditation. He feels more in control. He feels more balanced. He just loves it. And he goes up to George, and Michael says, "Hey, George, are you working with any other teams within the NBA?" George is like, "No, just you." And he's like, "Why?" And Michael goes, "Because I don't want you to work with anybody, because this gives me the edge." Right?
Typical
so
Michael.
Then, yeah, and so which is and to jump to another great basketball player, Kobe Bryant, which I'm reading his book, A Mamba Mentality, which is awesome. George Mumford follows Phil Jackson over to the Lakers, starts working with the team, he starts working with Kobe. Kobe's same thing, is like loving this, but Kobe has a different reaction and says, "How can you teach me what you do? Because when you're not around, I want to be you to the team. So I want to like be the person that's going to walk the team into meditation." There's a lot of pictures on the internet of showing Kobe walking his team into meditation, doing breathing work, all that kind of stuff. So when I tell these stories, I want to highlight like there's the best of the best are doing this, right? So to me, that's one of my favorites. Especially with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, because their careers kind of correlate, kind of parallel in similar ways. And I think Phil Jackson at the time might have been the only coach that dealt with mindset. They're able to, you know. Yeah. Have you heard of any coaches or players that use these type of systems?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about mental performance now in today's society. I think it's not where we need to be, but it's definitely, there's a lot. I mean, it's getting there. I think when you think of, I can tell you tons of them, but when you think about Major League Baseball, I would say at this point, maybe there's 4 to 6 teams that don't have a mental performance coordinator or coach or director on staff. Pretty much almost every team does. I don't know the NBA, but I want to say there's almost half of the teams have people like myself working for them. I think the football, I think NFL is, they have sports psychologists, like maybe one for each team, but not every team. So I think we're getting there. And there's a lot of colleges that are investing a lot of time and money into resources like myself. So yeah, I mean, and there's just colleges that I'm working with that at the Division I level and Division II level. So there's a lot out there. We just got to keep on fighting a good fight and just keep on making this more of a standard within our society.
Yeah, I was hearing an interview with Andre Iguodala, and I think the NBA supplies all the players a free subscription of this meditation app, which I forgot what it's called. And yeah, they just, you know, some players use it, some players don't, but the NBA is kind of pushing for that a little bit more, and I've heard it more in the NBA. I haven't heard much in football, but I guess it's only growing.
Yeah.
What is your so we spoke about your book, which is called How to Prepare for the Unexpected. Can you tell us a little bit about it and what's it all about?
Yeah, it's called The Next One Up Mindset, How to Prepare for the Unknown. And basically, I'm fascinated by watching people get ready for the moment and getting ready for when their number's called, and when they don't even know when their number's going to be called, but they step into the arena, whether if it is, you know, the pool, the football field, the boardroom, and they excel. I love that. And so, and for me at least, when I go back to myself, I was the man a long time ago. And when I played quarterback, man, I was the man. And then I wasn't the man because of my injury. And I wasn't the man for about 2 decades. And then I had to reinvent myself, like I said earlier. And now I'm the man. I got my life back. So part of this book is to kind of highlight people that have actually got prepared for the unknown, to share a little bit about my story, because I want to give people strategies and antidotes in the moment so that they can actually access tools and understand different stories, so they don't have to wait 2 decades to actually deal with the unknown, because it took me 2 decades to deal with my unknown. So that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is to tailor to athletes, teams, and coaches, but also really dive into my experience as a workplace warrior, if you will, and teach people how to actually deal with the unknown, the unexpected, on a daily basis, and use the strategies and skills that I actually put in the book.
And you can find Grant's book on Amazon.com. You could go into the show notes, and we'll have a link to the book itself. And the book is not just for athletes. It's for everyone.
Yep.
There you have it. Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Favorite entrepreneur. I know everyone's probably like waiting to like hear someone that's a big name. To me, she's a big name, but it's my wife. My wife works for BDO, which is like the fifth largest auditing tax firm in the world. What she does on a day-to-day basis, she's got a huge role, runs, you know, the western part of the United States sales team, and the things she does, like the way she leads, the tenacity and the way she finesse things, the way she's organized, the way she articulates her arguments, man, because we work from home, so I hear a lot of this stuff. I'm in awe how of an entrepreneur she is, and the things she does. She's on all these different boards, and so to me, I get motivated just by seeing my wife do her thing. So as an entrepreneur, she's first on my list.
And who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Of all time, my favorite athlete is Michael Jordan. But I will say this, my favorite quarterback, though, is Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly. He was the man back in the Bills. Too bad they couldn't win the Super Bowl. That was the only thing missing.
But they got there.
They got there, yeah, which is tough itself.
Right.
Ready for some random questions.
Yeah.
Which movie you can see forever? I mean, again and again.
Again and again. I could see, I could watch Rocky. I can watch any of those Rockies over and over again.
If you could, would you live in a hotel?
Yeah.
Which sport is more boring, golf or tennis?
Golf.
What is your favorite mustard?
Just yellow plain, baby.
Are you, what would you tell your 15-year-old self?
To be more intrinsically motivated and not to be so extrinsically charged and motivated.
What is your favorite Starbucks coffee?
Venti Americano.
Are you scared of flying?
Nope.
Do you like your passport picture?
Nope.
Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs.
There you have it. And what is the worst pet to have?
Oh, man, the worst one. I'm not going to be liked out there. For me, at least, I like cats, but not to have them as pets.
Well, there you have it, Grant. Grant, what is the best way for people to reach you?
Thank you. I can be reached. You can go to my website, which is gamefaceperformance.com. You can find my podcast there on 90% Mental, or you can find it on any podcast platform out there. You can see all my content. You can buy my book there. And like you said earlier, you can buy my book on Amazon. And if you want to follow me on social media, on IG and Twitter, it's the same handle, and it's GFP Mindset. And if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, it's Grant Parr. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, it's Game Face Performance.
And can you tell the audience, what is your podcast about?
My podcast is actually, it's about bringing awareness around mental performance by bringing on these athletes, like former and current athletes and coaches, sports psychologists, authors, and sporting executives to talk about their stories with mental game and then also sports psychology topics. So it's I've had a range of all different types of people and sports and backgrounds, and it's just been a beautiful experience. And if you're interested in really understanding the mental game and people's stories, how they got prepared, how they dealt with failures, man, it's a great show.
And off the air, we're talking about your other podcast. Can you preview that, or you can't talk about? Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Actually, it is it's a series within my show, 90% Mental. And actually, I'm starting next month a podcast series with Jake Plummer, Jake the Snake Plummer, who is a former NFL quarterback. And him and I are actually going to put a series together called In and Out of the Pocket. With Jake and Grant, and we're going to be just interviewing former and current quarterbacks, quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, head coaches within football, just to talk about the mental game from an offensive perspective.
And there you have it. Make sure you check out Grant Parr's book, The Next One-Up Mindset, How to Prepare for the Unknown. And you can look at our show notes. It's an Amazon link, and make sure you get it. Grant, any closing words?
Man, I say this a lot on most of the podcasts that I go on. And to your listeners, you know, I don't care if you're thriving, if you're not thriving, just know that you can play a big game. Understand where you want to go. Be vulnerable with your process and just play a big game, because we're not here on this earth that long. So play a big game and enjoy the whole process.
There you have it. Grant, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.